Let's all sing together. I am free. Let's lift it. Here we go. Sing, and we want all the kids, all you guys that are up here, we want you to sing as loud as you can with us, okay? Then we're going to have the adults do it. We're going to see who sings louder, and then we're all going to sing together. Right now, there's a few fewer kids than adults, but I think these kids are going to rock it, all right? So here we go. We're going to do I Am Free.
I am free.
Kids, good job. Woo! Okay, let's hear the adults do it. Okay, here we go. A hand. Good job this morning, guys. We're going to do another song for you called Open Up the Heavens.
Calling out to you, your glory Church body gathered, all generations, dear God, just to worship you. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity that we had this morning to worship generationally, that it's not just for adults, it's not just for kids, but it's for us all. We thank you, and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Everyone could be seated, and kids, you are dismissed to go back downstairs. Let's give these kids a hand, another hand, and the workers that work hard. As a Ben comes on up, or down, whatever.
It's hot. Good morning. Wow. All right, so coffee is served in the back. It's got caffeine in it, and grown-ups use that to wake up. No. Straight down the stairs, kids. Good morning, guys. Hey, just doing announcements just real quick. If you guys have got the sheets that we handed out at the door on the back of them. This is really cool. 14 life groups. They're starting up soon. We're excited about that. But on the front, you can go through. You see no youth tonight. It's a holiday weekend. We're wanting the kids to stay home with their parents, so please enjoy that. Our first Wednesday this week. This first Wednesday, we're going to start it off with a potluck and an update week. Really, if you're newer to Cornerstone and you haven't seen a first Wednesday yet because we skip them during the summer just because we got so many people coming and going, this is your first big step. If you got baptized over the summer or if you've made a commitment, this is your first chance to get involved. This is really like the core group of Cornerstone of the people that show up on first Wednesday. So anyway, if you don't have food to bring, Cornerstone, always there's always enough. And so you could just slip in and be like, yeah, it's good.
I do it all the time.
I know. That's why. So anyway, we're covered for that. Anyway, we'd encourage you guys to show up for that first Wednesday service. Fall and winter are right around the corner. I've got a joke for you. Luke, what did one snowman say to the other? Do you smell carrots? Yeah. I do that on purpose so that you guys can laugh at me. Ay, ay, ay. So anyway, fall and winter are coming. If you guys, Terry and Linda do a thing where they give out coats and boots and winter gear every year. So if you guys could remember to bring those in, we'll start collecting those. Cornerstone Kids and Technology, we're always looking for volunteers. If you weren't here beforehand, we showed a video about children's ministry and why it's important to serve, but also technology. If you guys, you know, you want to be an integral part, but you don't want to say and talk to everybody, to the guy that's behind the computer, he's got the power. Anyway, technology's fun, too. So anyway, we're looking for that. Leaders for the Follow Me series. If anybody, leaders are here for the life groups, your kits are in the back table. There's also member workbooks for sale. Todd is back there. $10 each for the workbooks. If you guys want to pick up, we'll have them there for a couple weeks for you. Let's see here. God Soup Kitchen. Anybody heard? They celebrated a year successfully. They've made it on top. If you guys want to, awesome. What is that, a hand clap?
Yeah.
That's so funny. A hand clap for God's Storehouse Soup Kitchen anyway. That's cool. They're doing a thing today from 1 to 3, free cake and drinks and stuff if you guys want to go support them. I know our youth and our church has gone there and served and supported. It's a pretty cool ministry in this community. I think that's it. First Wednesday, God's Soup Kitchen, no youth. Leader's kit and a tacky joke. What's that? Oh, yeah. We like serving those that serve. Just that's general. It's kind of the way we try to do our stuff. So we're going to try to put together a collection of snacks for the Galax Elementary school teachers. Healthy stuff, not... Right, this is for the teachers. Darla?
Amanda? Got Amanda?
It's like a conflict of interest there. I don't know. So anyway, that's it. So anyway, you know what they say. If at first you don't succeed, skydiving's not for you.
All right. It's always an adventure with Ben. We're going to worship some more. And, for those of you that are new here, you probably say, man, I don't sing this much on my own, you know, or in my shower. But that's the thing. You know, if I were to go to a concert, I'd be on my feet yelling at the top of my lungs. And I think God, we owe that to God as we worship him. And, you'll see different aspects of worship. Some people raise their hands, some don't. Some will come down and pray. We just want to invite you to worship God the way you feel led this morning. So let's stand and worship him some more this morning. It helps if I'm in the right key for everybody. That's Jesus. It's so awesome. What a truth. You know us. You know everything about us. We can't hide. We can't lie from you. We can't put on this mask. You know what's going on in our lives. So I pray, dear God, that we'll just be open with you. And that we'll just be honest. And that if we, when we do need you, and we need you every day, I just pray that we'll just come to you, dear God. And that we'll just let you work in our lives and work out the stuff that needs to be worked out. For us to lay down our pride. Dear Lord, we love you.
Stone this morning. We had an awesome time of worship, didn't we, to start off with. It's powerful. Just to come into this place and just to be able to feel the presence of God, knowing that God is always with us. But when you come together as believers like this, knowing that He is present, He is here this morning. And man, this morning we're kind of wrapping up this series called The End of an Institution. My plan is to have a short message this morning. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, that's always a little dangerous for me. But I really just want to share from the heart this morning, just kind of wrap things up. This whole series has been one that's been very close to my heart, and because this is why we exist as a church. It's more than just showing up here on Sunday morning. It's more than just meeting together and doing a few good things together so we feel better about ourselves. It's all about Jesus. And we're not, unashamedly, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to teach about Jesus. We're going to learn from Jesus. And really, that's why we're here. Now, I just want to share a few statistics with you this morning as we start off. And this should wake us up a little bit. 6,000 churches close their doors every year. 3,500 Americans leave the church every day. Every major U.S. denomination is declining in both membership and baptisms. Less than 20% of Americans attend church regularly. Only 15% of the churches in the United States are growing numerically. Only 2% of the growing churches are effectively winning converts to Christ. And in other words, what's happening is a lot of churches are growing because people are just moving between churches. Only 9% of evangelicals even tithe to their churches. 800 new church plants survive each year, but it would take 10,000 new churches annually to keep up with the population. Only 1 in 10 pastors retire while still in the ministry. Are those scary statistics to listen to? That is why it is so important for us to really get down to the heart. Why do we exist as a church? Are we just going through the motions? Are we just sustaining something here and just keeping it, you know, and just giving money and time and effort just to keep things going? Or are we part of a movement of God? You know, in Matthew 16:18, we see Jesus say that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I firmly believe that. I tell you, I love the church. My heart is for the local church. I'm not giving up. I'm not condemning the church, but I'm also aware that we live in a world that is rapidly changing and the church is struggling right? I mean, churches all over, we see them struggling. And I really believe the problem is not worship style. The problem is not, the way you present the message. I really believe that too many churches have lost their focus. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. How do we maintain our focus as a church? How do we keep the important things important? How do we keep from getting distracted and really losing track of why we here? We look at churches all over the country and we see some that have become institutions that are simply monuments to a previous movement of God, where at one time God moved mightily, but now, you know, you just kind of sit around and talk about what used to be. And now the primary goal, the primary focus is self-preservation. We see some that churches that have really just honestly become centers of entertainment. And they see, you know, man, that's the goal, to do whatever it takes to get people to feel comfortable and enjoy church. And you put on a show this week and if people go somewhere else, then it means you need to do something bigger and better than last week. And it turns into this kind of crazy cycle of entertainment and shock, and let's try to one up what we did last year. And so we have a culture of Christians across the country that believe church is for spectators. They believe, I'll come if you entertain me. I'll come as long as my needs are being met. But as soon as you do something that offends me, as soon as you challenge me, as soon as I show up and somebody doesn't talk to me or somebody doesn't call me, then I'm gone. And so we see that in the church. And that may be a little harsh. But when we look at those statistics I shared at the beginning, I think that's the reality, that many churches have lost their focus. We see people shopping for churches. What kind of terminology is that? Oh, I'm just shopping around trying to find a church. Like you're going to find one that just, you know, that fits you good. And I mean, how demeaning is that to Christ to say, we're just going to shop around? Is that what church is all about? Is that the church that Jesus died for? Is that the church that Jesus envisioned? Is it an institution where it's all about self-preservation? Is it an entertainment center where you just come to be entertained? Now, I believe the church is so much more. I believe the church that Jesus established it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But we've got to maintain our focus. And as we, you know, I've been thinking this all through this series. It's really been challenging me, you know, to get back to why we exist, to get back to the essentials of the faith, to get back to really why do we do what we do? Because we do a lot of good things as a church, right? This church, it is awesome, all the ways that we're serving the community. It's awesome to see these children up here and to see them learn about Christ each and every week. I mean, it's awesome to see people teaching and meeting outside of church on Sunday morning. It's awesome to see people serving in different ministries throughout the surrounding area. But we've got to be careful, and here's why. I was reading a book this week by Pastor James McDonald, and it's called Vertical Church. And here's a point he made. He said, when people are taught that their ultimate purpose is reaching the lost or building a church or extending their hands to the poor, they derail during difficult times in their life. Horizontal purposes, even ones that express God's heart for the lost, are not adequate to sustain a lifetime of devotion to the gospel through the valleys that people inevitably face. And he goes on to say that, I mean, the goal of the church is to reveal the glory of God. And when we lose that, and when we focus on all these other things that are good, but not the best, then when we hit those tough spots in life, we're going to be derailed. We're going to struggle. And I think that's why we see so many churches declining, is they're saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, and you got to do this. Okay, once you're saved, then do this. And it turns into a list of rules and regulations, turns into all these expectations, it turns into just ritual. It turns into a machine. It turns into an institution. And we lose sight of what it means to be part of the movement of God. as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we must realize our power source is the Holy Spirit and our motivation is the gospel. Our power source is the Holy Spirit. Our motivation is the gospel. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 4. And we'll see here, to me, this is a passage that summarizes what a movement is all about. This is the passage that summarizes this whole series. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. We don't exist for recognition or to feel better about ourselves. We serve because of the incredible love that Christ has showed us, and we want to demonstrate that same love to others. Ephesians 4 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. So Christ established the church. Christ established each one of us and gave us gifts. And we see here, to equip his people for works of service. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. And get this, it keeps going, then we will no longer be infants. Okay, we're going to be mature. We're going to grow up in our faith. We're going to stand strong no matter what comes our way. And we're no longer going to be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's a picture of a movement of God, where each person is growing up to maturity in Christ. Each person is finding their place of service. Each person is gifted differently. People have different leadership skills. Some are apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers. And we see everybody's working together, though, with the common goal to grow up in maturity in Christ, to share God's glory with this world around us. And when we do that, naturally, we're serving. We're still serving the community, but we're doing it out of love, not out of obligation. We're still serving inside the church. Again, we're doing it because, man, we're so thankful and grateful for what Christ has done for us. Our only response is to express that same love and gratitude to others. And we just, you see a different, you see, instead of being about self-preservation, instead of being all about us, it's all about Jesus. We come together as a church so that we can be equipped for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up. We are strengthened, we are encouraged, we grow, and we're able to stand firm in our faith through anything that happens in life. That's a picture. Earlier in the series, I gave you four marks of a movement. And those four things were simply, unity, cooperation, sacrifice, and creativity. Unity, cooperation, sacrifice, and creativity. We see that in Ephesians 4. We see the unity that happens. We see the cooperation that happens. We see the sacrifice. We see the creativity. We see what happens when we truly live as a movement of Christ. I ran across a video this week I wanted to show you. Real quick, just explaining, again, a movement, what the church looks like when we get together and do these things.
Lately, it seems that we're getting more and more confused about what a church actually is. So let's take some time to set the record straight. Church is not a building, though a building can be used by a church. Church is not a denomination, though a set of beliefs should be important to a church. Church is not about Sunday, though a church should not forsake meeting together. Church is not about one person or personality, though every church should be pastored. And church is not about size or growth, though every church is called to make disciples. So don't think of church as an address or a location, but rather think of church as mobile and on the move. Don't think of church as something built or planted, but rather think of church as something deployed. Don't think of church as where you are for an hour each week, but rather what you are every day of the week, because the church is the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Feet shouldn't sit still. Hands shouldn't be idle. Feet go. Hands do. This is the church. church isn't what you're sitting through right now, because you are the church. Now go and be the church.
A movement goes. A movement transforms the world. A movement is more than just Sunday morning. And I hope you've gotten that message over these last few weeks. And if we want to maintain our focus, if we want to stay on track, there's just three simple things I want to share with you this morning. Three things that kind of God put in my heart this week just to talk about. And I could, there's probably a lot more. There's a lot of different things I could share this morning. But these three things God has impressed on me this week. The first thing is simply we've got to focus on relationships. We've got to focus on relationships. And we serve a relational God. We see that through the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are relational beings. So we are called to live in relationship. But there's really three key relationships we're called to live in, right? Our relationship with God. We need to stand strong in our relationship with God. We need to have a relationship with other believers. And then we have a relationship with the world. I was thinking this week, and the illustration that came to my head is like a three-spoked wheel. Okay, if you ever seen one of these on a bike, these, you know, expensive bikes that have those fancy shaped wheels. A three-spoked wheel. That thing will keep rolling when those relationships, you gain momentum, right? When those three things are all healthy. Your relationship with God, which is your up, our vertical relationship. And that really is what gives us the power to do the others. We see this in the life of Jesus. He had a deep and a connected relationship with the Father that gave him strength, that prepared him to go out. And so we see that up component, that relationship with God. But we also see Jesus in his life that he spent so much time with his disciples, equipping them, teaching them, building them up, encouraging them. And that's the relationship with other believers. And then finally, we see Jesus and the disciples go out and serve. We see them go out to the lost and the least and the lonely. We see them go out to the hurting and the sinful. We see them serving. We see how they engage them and we see how they serve. And when we keep all three of those things going, we keep all three of those things healthy. What we see is a church that can maintain its focus and maintain its strength. And you don't see a church where people are burned out and frustrated and leaving because they're receiving power from God. And then they're coming together to be equipped together. And then they're going out together and serving. And really, this goes back to the very heart of why we exist. And you've heard me share about this a lot before, but you've even seen this diagram, the experience, equip, and engage, and how that's displayed through growth, or you know, our up relationship with God, through spiritual growth and worship, our in with other believers, through community and evangelism, and then our outward service through mission to this world around us. I mean, that's who we are at Cornerstone. That's why we exist. And when these three relationships are healthy and strong, then we, as a movement, we have momentum. We are growing, and we see people serving for the right reasons in the right way. And it's so important, though, that we don't neglect one, because so often what happens in churches, we lose focus because we start neglecting one of these areas. We start neglecting our relationship with God, and what happens? We become frustrated. We become tired. We are powerless because we aren't being strengthened. We aren't spending time abiding in Christ to hear from God, to know what He's calling us to do. So we're just going 1,000 miles an hour, wearing ourselves out without the Holy Spirit. What happens when we neglect the time with other believers? What happens is, we miss the power of the local church. And we live isolated lives. And we really don't fulfill Jesus' commands to make disciples, because we're too busy doing our own thing. And we forsake the meeting together, as Hebrews tells us. We just do our own thing, and we don't live in community. We aren't equipped. We don't find our place in the body of Christ. What happens when we neglect the outward service? Well, we become inwardly focused. And we see this is a problem in so many churches, that everything is about them. They miss that there's a lost and hurting world all around them. And we're called to take this message of hope, this message of grace, to them, this message of the gospel. We're called to go out and serve and engage them. And so it's so important that we keep all three of these things healthy and strong. And when we think of these three relationships, we maintain the focus that we see in the life of Jesus. It's not really complicated. It's really not. We want Jesus to receive the glory. We want to be messengers. We want to be used by Him. But we have to maintain our relationships. The second thing that I think we've got to focus on is we've got to focus on the next generation. We've got to focus on the next generation. When we look at our society today, how many of you would agree with me that we have a problem? Right? Man, we've got some messed up things in music and movies and TV. We've got a lot of people who are not following the Bible. That's just what it comes down to. People need Jesus, right? And I could sit here and I could condemn society and this world we live in. But, here's part of the problem. We've got a society now. We live in a country. We live in a time period where things have radically changed over the last 20 to 30 years. We live in a time now where the authority of the Bible is not recognized by most people. So before, when I was growing up, man, I was big in apologetics, which is being able to defend your faith, right? And it was all about logic and reason and science and debates. And I would read all these books about the scientific evidence for the Bible. That excites me, right? Some people, and I could reason with somebody with logic and say, well, this is what the Bible says. And they say, really? Okay. And you could go back and forth. Now, when you say, go up to somebody young or somebody in our society today and say, this is what the Bible says, they're going to say, I don't care. I don't really believe the Bible anyway. And so we've come to the place where the Bible is made fun of, where the Bible is attacked, where people say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm really not going to live that way. I'm going to go by what I feel. And what I feel tells me that, oh, man, we should just all get along. And, we don't need to tell people about hell or, that'll hurt their feelings a little bit. That's kind of the world we live in. And so we live in this world where the Bible is kind of pushed, and we see a whole generation coming up now that really looks at the Bible as, I'll just take the parts of it that I like and live by, and then the rest of it I'll just kind of do my own thing. And the reason they believe that, get this, it's because we haven't taught them any different. Right? As parents, as church members, as the body of Christ, we've not modeled for them what it looks like to live for the God of the Bible, by the authority of the Bible. And so what they've grown up in is a world where, kind of a me-centered world where they kind of push the Bible aside. Really the modern apologetic is really service. We serve, and they see us serving, and they want to be part of that, making a difference. And then we get an opportunity to share Christ in the process. And that's one of the reasons we do so much community service here. It breaks down barriers. It gives us an opportunity to share the gospel. And I'm not one of these guys that's an alarmist or a conspiracy theory guy. I know there's a book a few years back, it said the last Christian generation. I'm not that kind of guy who says, oh, man, because I see our teenagers and I see how excited and passionate they can be about Christ. But what I know is that a church, that doesn't happen by accident. We have to be intentional about that. We have to be intentional about teaching our children and about teaching our youth what it means to follow Christ. We have to be intentional as parents to teach our children what it means to follow Christ. What ways are you as a parent sharing Christ with your children? Devotions, prayer. What are you doing intentionally to pass on the faith to your children? Or do you just expect the church to do it for you? Because that's what it looks like in an institution. But in a movement of God, we see that happen naturally. There's so many different ways that we can meet with our children and pray with them. And the most important way, now get this, is for them to see us live our life. Is for us to model for them what it looks like
to follow Christ. Deuteronomy 6, a passage that was so important to the Israelites, the Shema, that they repeated it constantly. And it says here, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today." This is how we model it. This is how we show our children. And then it says here, teach them, talk to them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, and when you're on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. In other words, this is so important that whatever you do, you communicate these truths to the next generation. And as a church, I love seeing the children come up this morning. We take that very seriously, the time we have with these children. And I appreciate all of you that serve in our children's ministry. Our youth, we've seen them serve and do mission. We've seen them learn and grow. We have an incredible, incredible group of teenagers here in this church. And you don't see them all together on Sunday mornings because there's a lot of them downstairs serving in our children's ministry. They just do a great job. But we take that very seriously. My challenge to you, are you taking your role seriously as a parent? Because, again, I don't know if you were here very early this morning. The very first video we showed, it showed that you, how much time and how much influence you have with your kids. It far outweighs, as a church, we typically have about 40 hours a year with each child. They're at home with you that much every week, okay? Your role is, you've got to understand, if we want to keep this movement going, you've got to step in to be the spiritual leader, the spiritual parent in your home. And I want to challenge you to do that. The last thing this morning, just simply, we've got to focus on prayer. We've got to focus on prayer. We've got to be a church that prays. We've got to be a church that prays. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." This is the fire that keeps the engine going of the church. This is what keeps the momentum going. It's prayer. And it's probably in most churches the thing that is most neglected. The prayer. What I want to do this morning is just share with you four prayers from Paul. I'm just going to read them because I think they speak for themselves. Four prayers that Paul prays for the church. These are powerful prayers. And this is kind of how we're closing this morning, just to take a look at these prayers. And my challenge to you is, are you going to be praying this for you and for our church? The first prayer is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 19, that we will pray for wisdom. And it says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom." So we're praying for wisdom here. "And of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might." Ephesians 3:16 is a prayer for strength. And it says that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So we're praying for wisdom. We're praying for strength so that we could be filled with God's Spirit. In Philippians 1, we see a prayer for love. "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and with all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." A church full of love. Finally, in Colossians 1, we see a prayer for spiritual fruit. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Wisdom, strength, love, and spiritual fruit. We see that this is how Paul prayed for the local church. My question for you, how are you praying for our local church here, the body of believers known as Cornerstone? I'm going to do something a little bit unusual as we close out this morning. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. And the reality is that when I look at Cornerstone here, I see a church where lives are being changed, right? I see a church where people are finding their gift and passion in serving God. I see a church where addictions are being broken, where relationships are being healed. I see a church where teens and children are boldly sharing their faith. I see a church where the Bible is being taught and lives are being changed by the power of the gospel. But one of the most exciting things to me as a pastor is seeing people just come alive, being transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And I pray that never gets old to us, that we see people become empowered by Christ. We see people become fully alive. And so what I want to do now, I'm sitting here looking, we've got this whole first row of chairs out, and we've got this a perfect area for us to come and pray this morning. And if you're able and you feel led to, I'm going to ask that you just come up to the front as we close in this song, that you spend time in prayer for our church, because we need prayer. We need the power of God so we can experience the presence of God in this place. We need to be people that pray consistently. As Paul says, to pray without ceasing. We need to be praying for this movement to continue, that we can maintain focus. We need to be praying for the next generation, that we lead them, that we teach them, that we exhort them, we encourage them. And we just need to be people of prayer. So I'm going to just say this whole area is open for you as we close out. If you want to pray for your family, if you want to pray for this church, if you want to pray for our nation, right here is your chance, your opportunity to do that. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you don't know what it's like to be forgiven of your sins and given a new life, if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ alone to save you, then this morning's your opportunity. I'm going to be over towards the cross. I'll be there to pray with you, to answer any questions. I want to give you that opportunity. I want to invite you to follow Jesus. Next week, we're starting a new series all about following Jesus. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do. You guys wrote a whole bunch of names on the board last week. We've been praying over them. And I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. So you can pray for those as well. But right now, we're going to close in a time of song. The altar is open for your prayers right now.
like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. Oh, how He loves us so.
Awesome service, and the presence of God's been here, and I just feel on my heart, you know, I know we've done a lot of songs today, but we want to close with one song because it's so relevant to what's been taught today, and it's a song we did earlier, and it's Open Up the Heavens, because the words are so powerful. We waited for this day to be gathered in Your name, and we were. And we lift up the name of Jesus. So let's just close with a song and let's just celebrate what God is doing in our lives and here at Cornerstone in our community. And let's just lift His name up.